Hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you.
Today, we're talking about something incredibly close to my heart. As many of you know, I absolutely adore animals, particularly rescue cats. So whenever someone writes about the extraordinary bonds we share with our pets, I immediately want to know more. Joining me today is award-winning novelist, screenwriter and playwright, JJ Flowers. Her latest book, The Spiritual Dog: Emissaries of Unconditional Love and Healing, explores the remarkable spiritual connection between humans and their canine companions. I'm going to say that again, canine companions, and I see if you can do that. Looking at the wisdom, healing and unconditional love our dogs bring into our lives. JJ has written award-winning fiction, teaches yoga, metta meditation, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, listeners, pranayama, and also shares her spiritual insights through her popular Substack, A Spiritualist Explains It All. JJ, it's a pleasure to have you here. Can you just say that word I said wrong? What was it?
Pranayama. But pranayama is just breathing exercises, which, you know, it's thousands of years of yoga wisdom in breathing exercises. We call it pranayama, which is not rocket science. It's just bringing our conscious attention to our breath.
Wow, that's a good thing. So let's start from the very beginning. For the listeners meeting you for the first time, tell us a little bit about yourself and the journey that led you to becoming an author.
The journey that led me to becoming an author was because I was ill-suited for real work. I'm just a dreamy person. I'm always in my imagination. And so I got through college, and of course, I first thought that maybe I would be a lawyer, which is what people who have no purpose in life inevitably start looking at. But fortunately, my roommate was studying in law school, and I saw what she was studying. And I understood in that moment that I would never be a lawyer. The only thing I ever got attention for was my writing. And honestly, now when I look back on it, I find it hilarious that I just thought, I'm going to be a writer. And then I read in the LA Times that romance novels account for half of all books sold. And I had never read one. I was always a voracious reader. So I was a big reader, but I had never read a romance novel. But I got five of them, and my husband, my new husband, got five of them, and we read them. And as soon as I read them, I thought, putting a woman's sexual fantasy on paper, I thought I could do it. And my first book just like sold. Wow. So for many decades, and I'm so grateful for this, I wrote these big, thick historical romances. While I was raising my family and, having a really lovely life. It was fun. We had a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed writing these books until I got to like my 10th book. And I started having fantasies of killing off my heroines in really ways. And so then it was like that was over. And from that, I started writing different stories, children's stories, and just different types of books.
So you jumped a question, which was for me. You made me smile because you said eventually you writing romance novels became you started imagining dreadfully to kill your heroines. So yes. You just answered that. But you know, a writer myself, but just a newbie. Do you think writers eventually write the book they're meant to write?
That is a really great question. And I love talking about writing because there's a powerful spiritual aspect to writing. And I think that some writers have this one book that they are meant to write. For instance, the man who wrote The Power of Positive Thinking,
Yeah.
Norman. That was like a mega bestseller. It sold more than the Bible. And he presented the world with the idea that positive thinking helps you. Yeah, it touches almost every aspect of your life. And yeah, he was meant to write that one book. He came here. That's what his soul's purpose was. And then there's others writers who are just teachers, and they convey information. I think you're one of those for sure. Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, the thing is with me, I love Chinese astrology and the metaphysics. I love feng shui. So for me to write about it is an easy thing for me to do. I wouldn't be the sort of person that is a romantic novelist because I don't think I've got any romance in my body, I've been told. I'm not analytical, but I'm super spiritual. But to sit down and write that sort of thing. So
Yeah.
just before we move on to a part of the conversation I'm looking forward to very much, when did spirituality come into your life to begin with? When were you a child or?
Well, I'm a little bit different because then a lot of people, well, not everybody is, everyone walking the earth is on a spiritual path. It's just where does that spiritual path lead you? And how many lifetimes is this going to take? That's an interesting question. Many spiritualists don't understand the reincarnational cycles that we go through. And I know many spiritualists who are like, this is my last life. There is no way I'm coming back. When I transition, it's like game over. And I'm like, that is one sign that you will keep
Definitely
coming
coming back.
back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is
Because
it? Yeah.
it, because you actually near the end of your reincarnational cycles when you learn these two things. When the beauty and the power of the earth busts your heart open and causes tears constantly. When you're connected to Mother Earth and the bounty that is life on Mother Earth, that's one of the signs. The other sign is that when you there's humor in almost everything you do. And the third and final one is that when you're able to create a beautiful reality, when you understand how your consciousness is working to create reality, and you're able to manifest a reality that you love, this is when you're nearing the end of. And then usually those people come back as teachers.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about reincarnation, only like what I've seen on like TV sort of programs. I was interviewing someone the other week and they were saying, oh, you come back in your life and your mum's your mum, but it could have been your daughter in another life, and you really just stick within the crew that you're in. The people around you are always the same energy, just in different forms. Do you believe that?
Oh, well, there's a great truth to that, but you're missing. You think of each the one of the other things about our reincarnation that many people don't understand is you haven't had one or two or even 10 lives. Almost every person here has had hundreds of lives. So that becomes it puts it in a different perspective. It is true that. You will first, I would invite people to think of their life, think of your soul as a playwright. And this life is a play that you wrote in order to experience and learn these things. What are these things? Most of these things are to learn love. And the main method we most humans choose to do that is through our families. Families are the great teachers of love. So there's that. And you do tend to, the same actors will show up in your place as you go through life. But as you change and evolve and grow, that will start to change. It will always be changing. There will always be new souls that participate in your life, just like you're participating in their life. So it does change. It's not a static system, is what I'm saying. It's very dynamic,
My goodness,
very.
I'm going to have you back on the show because we're actually going to be talking about your relationship with dogs and animals today. But you've got me hooked here, absolutely hooked. So we're just going to go to our first break. You're listening to Feng Shui Away with Janine Lowe. Today I'm chatting with award-winning author JJ Flowers about her wonderful new book, The Spiritual Dog: Emissaries of Unconditional Love and Healing. Stay with us because after the break we'll be exploring whether dogs really can sense spirits and so much more. We'll be right back.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. So, JJ, I was going to ask this in the first bit, but I didn't ask you. Can we to start by talking about your book? Because did you write it about one particular dog, or did you talk, you know, did you take the essence from other dogs? How did that happen?
No, what happened to me was I did start, my whole life I've had mystical experiences. But also hilariously, my husband, I was lucky enough to marry the best person I've ever met in my life. And he was a scientist. He actually taught the philosophy of science at the graduate level. So all my mystical experiences were like, he convinced me they were products of my imagination, which is on a certain level true. God speaks to us through our imagination. That's from George Bernard Shaw, by the way. But so I would have these mystical experiences, and it wasn't until after I had this one tumultuous year where I lost both my husband and 11 months later our son John Paul transitioned.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and they were the two brightest lights in my life. I mean, for many years afterwards, all I could do was write about them. It was my way of processing and walking through grief. But after that happened, the doors opened and I began experiencing their love as an energy. It would just break through and they would be there. Their love would be cascading around me. And that led me into metaphysics. And then there was a certain point where I connected to really high light, Melchizedek. They're channeled through Paul Selig. And I would urge everyone listening to this, no matter where you are on your spiritual path, if you connect to high light, it will amplify your light. It will connect you to your soul's intention for this life. It will in every way make life better. So, and in my book, I do mention three sources of highlight that there's many sources of highlight, but there's only three that I have personally experienced and would be willing to recommend. the ones that have no distortion operating in them. So anyway, when this happened and the mystical experiences were so beautiful, it was just one day I was meditating, and I had loved dogs and animals. I was born into a family with dogs, and I had dogs every day of my life. I was a big, they were like a hobby to me, dogs and training, and I would read all the science of dogs. And I was looking at my dog, and all of a sudden I just realized, oh my God, almost no one understands that our dogs, these beings we love, cats too, I would say, there's a spiritual aspect that people have not, that people are not connected with, they're unaware of. And becoming aware of your dogs, the spiritual aspect of these beings, is a way that opens the door to a much greater reality. And that reality is so exciting. So in my book, for the first part is the physiology of dogs, which you begin to understand their design. Dogs from the wolf family, of course, they're designed specifically designed to walk with people through life. And and there's so many interesting aspects of their physiology that the average person, even vets, are often unaware. For instance, a dog superpower is their sense of smell. Yep. And a dog smells anywhere between 100,000 and 1,000,000 times more than what we can smell. Your dog can smell you 10 miles away. They can smell in your house. They can smell the couch, not just the couch, but who has sat on the couch. They can smell the plant, the dirt. They can smell the spider in the corner. And yeah, so they live in a very different world than we do. Their sense of smell is analogous to our vision. And with a dog, their sense of smell, they smell individual smells where humans, we smell the collective stew of scents will arrive usually as one scent. Dogs will smell things individually, and it produces an image in their mind. So in many ways, their sense of smell is it's the way they experience the world. And this sense is conscious. They do not walk around smelling all the time. They couldn't live with us because many, like just our shampoo would drive them to distraction. So they only smell it when they want information. When they're in a natural setting with lots of pleasant smells, or if they need information. So in my book, I just present, that's just like one example. I have the 20 different communications dogs go through when they meet each other. Now, these communications are telepathic, but they have physical manifestations that we're able to observe. And once you observe them, it makes every contact with your dog fun and interesting. So there's that. And then the second part of the book is what our emotional connection to dogs is about. What's going on there? And here, I'm a lifelong yogi, and we study the chakra systems. And the dogs, too, have a chakra system. And what happens is our chakra systems, when we start loving on our dog, our chakra systems start pairing. So there's an energetic exchange throughout our chakra systems. And that's why our emotional connection to our dog is very intense. For many people, it's quite intense. And dogs, You know, when we're happy campers, when we're living our best life, our dogs amplify those emotions. They're happy too. The trouble comes in when we have anger or fear operating in our energy systems. Dogs absorb a lot of that anger and fear, but when it becomes too much, you'll see the dog will develop an emotional, it, they're a behavioral problem, and in worst case scenarios, a disease.
Interesting you should say that. I've got a very, very, very easygoing cockapoo. And I walk her on the beach and she gets on with all the people and all the dogs and everything. But when she knows there's a bad dog, she just sits down on her bottom, right? That's it. She's not having any of it. And she doesn't go back at them. They can get all around her, but she stands her ground and sits down, right? And I think that's a really brave thing to do because she's quite she looks like a rabbit, but she doesn't look like a rabbit, but she's quite cute looking, yeah. And the other thing, as my listeners know, that I rescue street cats, yeah. So I have a number, I'm not going to put that number out there in case you think I'm a mad cat lady, but they come and they go and they stay. And she, doesn't know them, they don't know her. Some cats that come off the street and have bad relationships with dogs. And they come in and the world changes for them, for the cats, that is, because she has this inside her. It's like she's taken on the job of caring for them. She doesn't go around sniffing them or anything that, but the energy that she brings into line for them is lovely to see. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, totally. It does it, and it leads to another a fascinating aspect of the emotional connection we have with our dogs. Your dog, if you have a dog, was designed just for you. Same with your cat. Every cat that you rescue, that your rescuing of them was on their soul path. It was their intention to come here to connect to you and to experience your love. So your dog, he, they, your spirit guides, your dog was designed specifically because you were rescuing cats. So he has his soul path would be all about helping you with that
Amazing.
in different ways. And if we understood it energetically, it would blow our minds how he has a relationship to each one of your cats. I want to also say about your dog sitting when they see a threatening dog. This is very common with Newfoundlands and many of the non-aggressive breeds. And it's very advanced. What they're doing is they're signaling to that dog that they're not going to participate. No matter what happens, they're not participating. And that dog reads your dog and loses interest. There's
So
so much.
one of my questions was going to be, was actually going to say, do we choose the dog or the dog choose you? But you've now said, which I think is lovely, that the dog is spiritually given to you as a design. So when you go, oh, I really like that dog's already here for you. It's already there for you to come get it. Yeah.
That people don't understand that, but I've read so many dogs where it could just like one there's so many readings that illustrate this, but one that was hilarious was this lady wanted me to read her a raccoon. And I never read a raccoon before, even though I'm a big fan. I have raccoon stories, many great raccoon stories. But basically, this raccoon was visiting her every night at 7 o'clock, and she would go out and give the raccoon a nice dinner. Well, she started loving on this raccoon. He was a wild raccoon. So I was just looking at the picture of the raccoon, and my guides came in and said, the raccoon's name is very important, and it has something to do with this lady's grandmother. And so I said to the lady, I'm getting that the raccoon's name is important, something to do with your grandmother. Oh, she got so excited because she named the raccoon Daisy after her grandmother. Then the whole story emerged. And what it was, I learned so much because while the evolution, the sole evolutionary path of most animals, not all animals, but most of them, is there's a progression from wild animals to our domestic animals. But this is a big leap for them. And so you'll often see your feral cats, for instance, a cat will be feral first and be watching the humans, like, what's going on? What are they going to do? You know, they're testing the waters for one or two lives before they make the commitment to come in as one of our pets. So this raccoon was testing the waters, and the grandmother connected to them from the spiritual realm, connected to the little raccoon, and said, oh, go visit my daughter. You know, she lives right there. So the raccoon started visiting the daughter, and the daughter started loving on the raccoon, named him after the grandmother, because on some level, we're aware of these things. And the beautiful part of the story was that what I understood from Daisy once I got it was that this lady's love overwhelmed Rocky, Daisy. Daisy understood how beautiful the life of our domestic animals is because of being the recipient of this woman's love. And that illustrates to you, to everyone listening, when you love on an animal, you're changing their energy field. It's like getting close. It's love is a very powerful energetic force. And human love is very special in the universe.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're just going to go for a second break. So when we come back, we've only got 10 minutes. I need at least another hour. When we come back, I've got a few questions and we'll be short and snappy so I can make sure that all our listeners hear what you have to say. So we'll be back after the break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back, and I'm not going to do the quick fire questions because one of the things that you've actually brought to my attention is life lessons. Yeah. So if dogs could speak one sentence to humanity, what do you think they'd say?
Let's go for a walk.
Yeah, let's go for a walk. That's a great one.
One of the things is that one of the purposes of dogs is to connect us back to nature. They get us off the couch and into the world. Yeah.
And they get us the opportunity to meet other people. You know, a lot of single people have dogs and they wouldn't talk to anybody unless they went out. And this is a great opportunity to converse, I suppose.
Yes.
What do you think humans have forgotten that dogs remember naturally?
Oh my God, this could make me cry, because what humans have forgotten that dogs understand that they're here to teach us is related to the last question. And that's that, you think of the earth as God's finest creation. There's so much light in nature. There's so much God source light in nature. Dogs are very aware of this. That's why when we bathe in natural waters, we go in the ocean or a river or a lake, when we're walking through forests, when we're climbing mountains, when we're out in nature, we are experiencing our best life. We're connecting to one of the main purposes of being here on Earth is to just to experience the beauty and the profundity of the natural environment in every way that it shows up for us. So dogs are very connected to the idea that the tree is light. It's God source light. It is a being. It's a beautiful being.
Going to your book, Looking Ahead, what do you hope readers feel when they finish the final page?
I hope that readers understand that we're all in this together, that the person with the most love wins, and that there's ways to facilitate. If you want more love in your life, the best way to do it is by giving love. And in my book, I have the Metta Meditation. The Metta Meditation is a very powerful ancient practice. It's the Buddhists have a very beautiful tradition of it. Mine is a more for a modern person's, I think it facilitates it better. And it's where you connect to a vibration of love. And when you're experiencing that vibration, you start sending it out to other people. And this is probably the most powerful spiritual practice we can pull into our lives, that it is transformative, very transformative. It doesn't just change you and your consciousness, but it affects the people you send love to. So that's in my book. I would hope that people would start using that. And once you start connecting to the power of love, then you start understanding nature as a vibration of God's source light, and you would want to take better care of it.
I totally agree with you. I had a really funny thing. I had to take my cats to the vet today for their regular jabs, and the vet said, "Oh, I see you've got a number of cats," she said. "Do they all fight or that?" And I go, "Well, no, none of them fight." And she's like, "Oh, well, none of them. There's no one that fights with them." No. I said, "Cats come in and go out." And she said, "I saw your dog this morning come in for a jab. How does she get on with all your other cats?" I'm like, she just makes everything okay. And like you said, there is no leader in the house. There's no leader, but there is a lot of love between all the animals. Don't get me wrong, they'll do the whole chasing up the stairs and down the stairs. Anyway, this is about me. So
No, I just want to say about that's really powerful. Janine, you don't understand how much light is around you, and you would only attract the cats that you were meant to be with you, that you will help through their connection to you, either by giving them an adjusting period before they find a home. There's a lot of light around you and what you're doing with animals. You definitely have AC talent too. That's what I'm getting. That could be a huge part
Oh my
of.
goodness, it seems to have been most of my life. But anyway, so also, you're a screenwriter and a playwriter. Do you ever see The Spiritual Dog become a documentary or a film? Should we?
Oh, that's so funny.
We'd love
Yeah,
that, wouldn't we?
I would love that. And it's funny, one of my friends is a medium and she really saw this. And I was like, oh, I would love that. But so far, I'm the only one who's thinking about it. So
Guys,
I hope that changes.
we need to manifest that.
Yeah, let's manifest that.
So what are you there is one thing. We've only got a few minutes left, but one of the things that genuinely upsets me, and I don't know if you cover in the book, when you lose your dog,
Yeah.
is there a grief chapter to help people through?
Oh, there's a huge it, 'cause grief is one of the most powerful spiritual passages humans go through. So many people will think, oh, the design flaw in our dogs is that they don't live long. But no, their deaths are meant to awaken us to a greater reality. Their deaths, I like to share with people, when your dog dies, it is often as intense as when you lose a loved one. It just doesn't last as long, usually. The grief doesn't last as long. And you should know that every dog I've spoken to who has transitioned says that leaving, they don't live in separation. We live in separation. There is no time that your dog doesn't understand this life is temporary, and when it's over, they know where they go. They're not in the dark about it. They say leaving this life is like dropping an old coat and stepping into the light. So, do they miss us? No, not really, because they can connect to us whenever they want to.
That I absolutely believe. So where can people find out details about your book or how they could do it?
Yeah. Well, I just want to offer to all your listeners, the first 20 people who buy the book, I'll give a reading to of their dog or cat. So you can find the offer on my website. It's jjflowersbooks.com. And you can find the offer on most of my Substacks, A Spiritualist Explains It All, which is free. So, and it's got a lot of good information in there, a
Brilliant.
lot of information.
Brilliant. And are you on Instagram?
No, not really.
No, see, because she's a writer, listeners. She's a writer.
Yeah. So, yeah,
Brilliant.
I'm on Facebook a lot, but not a lot. There's just certain spiritual groups on Facebook that I just love.
Okay.
Yeah.
JJ, it's been such a lovely conversation. I truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. I've learned a lot for myself, and a couple of times I was like welling up and thinking, no, don't cry. So you might not have heard so much of me, guys, on interviewing JJ, but it's because I got a bit emotional on it. Well, I want to say if anybody wants to buy her new book, The Spiritual Dog, Emissaries of Unconditional Love and Healing, I'm assuming it's on Amazon, is it?
Yes, it's on Amazon and anywhere books are sold.
Great.
Most places books are sold.
So just want to say thank you, JJ, for coming on. We're going to talk after we finish this show, everybody, because I'm not for letting her go yet. So thank you for coming on, JJ, and being such a brilliant, brilliant person to interview.
Don't know about that. Thank you so much for having me.
thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.